Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
All right, it's time to get into sports talk in and around the DMV area and beyond, as I am glad to welcome you, my listening audience, to another exciting edition of Listen In with KNN, sports talk radio show and podcast presented right here by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. This week, I am welcoming in a man who is getting it done with sports coverage in the DMV area, as we like to say here in the DMV, with Lake Lewis Jr., owner and NFL reporter at sportsjourney.com, and also a former Washington Redskins senior reporter at USA Today Sports. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN or hashtag LIWKNN. Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports zone of the district and beyond, where it is now time to welcome in my very special guest, a good colleague that I haven't seen in forever, but nonetheless, he's still a friend of the show, Mr. Lake Lewis Jr. Lake, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you today?
I am wonderful. In my intro, I mentioned all the wonderful, great work that you're doing with sportsjourney.com. If you have not had a chance yet, definitely check that out. And Lake, were you down in Miami at the last Redskins game?
I sure was. Sweating.
Oh, man. You got to tell us, how was the atmosphere? It looked like a good amount of Skins fans made the trip down to South Beach.
It was. When I walked out during pregame on the field, you know, you couldn't help but notice. There was a lot of familiar faces, you know, a lot of fans that, you know, I've had a chance to get to know over the years, you know, up here. And, they were out there full throng calling, just excited about the opportunity. And, I will say this, though, it was really hot. And, I would say maybe by like the third quarter, a good portion of those fans that were, you know, sitting behind the Redskins on the visiting side, they actually moved. They actually left because it was that hot.
And what was the weather?
It was 85, but the humidity made it feel like it was like 95 on the field. And
yeah,
the thing is that
it's unforgiving.
Of course. And then the way it was set up, the way, you know, Hard Rock Stadium is set up, is that the sun just shines on you profoundly the whole time. So it was it definitely we talked about it up in the press box, looking over there, and I kept saying, I can't believe those folks are just sitting in that sun like that. And you could see them fanning themselves. But by the third quarter, it was kind of sparse, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the love ran out for the Redskins by the third when the sun was pouring on them.
I think they went to different parts of the stadium because it wasn't a full, you know, crowd by any means. It was, you know, like 60% full. The Dolphins fans were pulling the Redskins number, Kelsey. They were doing a Redskins fans number up here. So it was almost like what we're used to seeing up here. The opposing team's fans take over the stadium. That's how it was on Sunday for Redskins fans. Yep.
Wow. And I saw how cheap the tickets were, too, in Miami. And not just the Dolphins game, but a lot of the sports teams in Miami have not been doing the best. So if you want to go to a sports game, it seems like Miami is the place to be if you can stand the humidity that you're talking about. But I was glad to see that Redskins fans made the trip. And for good reason, like, because finally the Redskins got their first win of the season. And I'm thinking that's probably why our timing with you on the show was right. I think you were the good luck charm, because the week I scheduled you now was the week the Redskins got the win. So, see, I knew what was happening. I pre-planned.
Well,
the one point
well,
win
they,
against the Dolphins, but we'll count it.
No, they tried to give it away.
Oh, my gosh. So let me ask you, like, since you've been covering the Redskins, you've been at training camp, you've been at all the games, just give me your overall prediction on what fans should think how we're going to finish this season. I mean, pretty much playoffs are kind of out of reach, right? So now it just seems like we're just trying to finish for dignity at this point.
Yeah.
The fight for all DC, I guess. What can we expect from Washington, realistically?
I mean, I think that they're going to be a lot more competitive than what they've shown over the first, 5 weeks of the season. And, I think fans also have to realize that the first part of their schedule was really tough. I mean, they played 4 playoff teams out of 5. And, the Dolphins game, I mean, they were a desperate team, too, looking for a win. So that's why the game ended up being more competitive. But I think this week will be a good barometer for the Redskins as far as, the 49ers, they're undefeated still. And I think that'll give them a real good assessment of where they are compared to a young team like the 49ers who seem to have turned everything around from their organization. But I think going forward, I wouldn't count on a whole lot of wins. I mean, I think right now you're probably looking at 5 wins max. But the way the season started, to end up with 5 wins after you started 0-5, that's actually not bad. That's close to playing almost .500 football. So I think that's probably what we'll see down the stretch.
All right. So you gave us a little bit of hope. So now my fans, can kind of dry those tears. It might not all be over. They're not going to be doing what the Mystics did or what we're hoping our Nationals will do.
Right.
But not all is lost for the Washington Redskins. And give me your first assessment of Bill Callahan kind of holding down the team, his first game as head coach.
He's a different coach from, different personality from Jay Gruden. I mean, Jay Gruden was more guarded. I think just over the years, he got a little bit more cynical with things, and he was just guarded. You could tell he was getting very, snippy with us in the media at, everyday conferences. And I think he knew his time was coming, that the writing was on the wall. But I think with Callahan's more of the kind of like the old father type figure. He's very positive, he's not a guy that's gonna just jump on you in public or anything like that. I mean, if even in practice, I mean, that's just not his style. But he's very complimentary of guys, and he tries to give you the just the positive, positive reinforcement, as opposed to Jay was more like the tough love. And I think that Jay's message didn't reach the players. I mean, after a while, guys liked them quite a bit. Don't get me wrong. I think most of the players will tell you that they like Jay.
Right.
I think, if you gave guys a truth serum, they would tell you some of them didn't like his coaching message. So I think with Callahan, he's definitely more old school, where he wants to run the football. They proved that this past weekend. Adrian Peterson had 100 yards, the first 100-yard game they've had all season. And then today, they made a couple roster moves, and they went out and signed a fullback. So, it kind of tells you that maybe this running game thing is going to be real now.
And just going off of that, you talked about Adrian Peterson. It seemed like, and it wasn't a secret, that his and Gruden's relationship didn't seem to be the best. Gruden didn't seem to be a fan of his running style. So, I mean, I know we're still early on, but do you think with Callahan, AP can kind of have more of his running style and kind of get along with the coach better?
Yeah, of course. I mean, anytime you're part of a game plan, you're going to feel good. You're going to feel better about the coaching staff. And, Adrian and I talked many times, and some of the stuff's off the record. But for the most part, he was being a veteran. A pro, in other words, where he wasn't venting or anything publicly, but behind closed doors, it wasn't so much Jay Gruden as much as it was as Adrian being competitive, and he wants the ball. He wants to be able to, be able to help his team. And, we used to talk, and he used to just say he was just baffled that they didn't run the ball as much, especially – when your quarterbacks were struggling at some point. And and then if you have, with Dwayne Haskins, your rookie quarterback, well, they send up a rookie of any quarterback as a nice tight end. Well, you don't have that with Jordan Reed being out and Vernon Davis. But equally as important as a run game. And it just didn't add up to a lot of people. But I think right now Adrian's comfortable, he's happy. And you saw that he's still got a lot in the tank, to be 33, 34 years old. He still can get it done. And I think they're going to have to ride him quite frequently, frankly, if they're going to have any success going forward.
Yeah, Adrian's proven truly that age is nothing but a number. I hope I'm still like that when I get to Adrian's age. he's the motivation. He's the motivation.
Yeah, I'm way past that. So, yeah.
Look, Blake still got it, y'all. He still got it. But going off of that, it seems like overall, it seems to be much more positive for the Redskins fans. I hope now, Lake, that we'll see hopefully more fans staying at Redskins games and also not selling their tickets to the opposing team. But really quick, I want to get your thoughts on the NFL trade deadline coming up in 2 weeks. Do you think the Redskins should dwell in that? Do you think they should even think about draft picks? Like, what are overall thoughts on what Washington should be looking at as the trade deadline looms near?
Well, I mean, there's just obviously the obvious name is Trent, and, you know, there was stuff circulating around today, and myself and some of, you know, our other colleagues, you know, we called the team, and, you know, I was told, can't tell me specifically the name of the person, but I was told they don't know anything about that right now. And as far as Trent being traded to the Browns, that's what's circulating out there. I'm not saying that won't happen or it can't happen. I personally think that they should have traded Trent earlier in the year if they knew that they weren't going to meet whatever his demands were. Then I think at that point you have to do what's best for your franchise and your team. And if you felt like Trent not paying him or not, you know, mending that fence with him, whatever his issue is that he's not here, he's holding out. If you felt like you weren't going to budge, then you needed to trade, you know, your best player, of course, but you needed to get value for him. And I think waiting this long, you know, I don't think you're going to get the value you could have gotten for him. But nevertheless, I mean, it's time. Like, again, if you don't want him, you got to move him. You got to get something. But other than that, I don't see any other moves being made, just because, you know, the NFL is a little different from, say, like the NBA or Major League Baseball or hockey. I mean, you know, these aren't guaranteed contracts, and just the way the salary cap is set up, you know, you just don't see that happen too often. So I don't think the Redskins are going to be, if nothing happens with Trent, I don't see anything else happening. I don't think they're going to be a player in that regard.
All right. Well, thank you for dropping that news for us. Definitely something to keep an eye on. And we just want to see Trent happy. So I think whatever they can do to make him happy but also get something in return, it's a win-win situation. All right. Staying on football, shifting to – yeah, like just everybody wants to win, right? We all want to be smiling at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So Washington, hopefully they get it right. You know, we need to bring more smiles to Redskins fans. Like, I'm tired of seeing them come into work with their faces down and their Redskins gear all smudged and dirty because they've just had enough. But finally, we've got some smiles. Go ahead. Sorry.
And I was just gonna say, I think what's going on right now with the Nationals, and I mentioned earlier, as far as the Mystics winning the WNBA championship last week.
Yeah.
Right now is a feel good time in DC, and
I think
that you may see, just based on the fact that it looks like the Nationals are on their way to the World Series. I mean, they by the time I got on the phone with you, they were up 7-0 in the fourth inning. So looks like they're going to close it out tonight and be in the World Series. So I think fans may just want to be out in the scene, so to speak. And, you know, maybe Sunday people just migrate to FedEx Field again, just because it's a hot, you know, scene of sports right here in D.C. again.
Yes, it feels so good to say DC and championship. Like, we just gotta make that synonymous. Like, I need that. I've been waiting 27 years, like, since I was born and raised here. And finally, I know what happened in my lifetime. Like, so finally, you know, I'm getting to feel like how other cities feel. So it's a good time to be in
DC. Well, I tell people, you know, when I was younger, when I was in like middle school, elementary and middle school, I remember the Redskins over a 10-year period, they were in 4 Super Bowls and 5 NFC championships. And I remember that. I remember that vividly. And during that time, we didn't have a baseball team here. So, but the Orioles were really good. And the Orioles won the championship in, I think, 1983, the World Series. So we saw some really good sports in this region for a long time, but unfortunately, the last 20 years with the Redskins has been pretty bad, to be honest with you. It's been spotty at best.
I gotta blame my parents, I guess. They had me in the wrong decade. They didn't want me to see women.
I mean, I feel for you. I said if anyone's under 35, they don't know the Redskins really. They don't understand the history of what they used to be. They're a bad team if you're under 35. But yeah, there was a time when they actually, you know, you could make an argument that they were kind of the Patriots of their time. And so that's a long time ago.
Ooh, boy, have things changed. But nonetheless, I loved seeing all the Nats gear. I loved seeing all the Mystics gear. Like, again, like you said, it's a fun time to be in D.C. And we don't have the Miami humidity. So, again, D.C. is the place to be. All right, staying in the NFL, we've also had some fans that were angry at Monday night's game with the Packers and Lions. Not because of really the play on the football field, but because of some of the ref calls. Did you have a chance to watch that game at all?
I did, and it's really unfortunate because I thought for all intents and purposes that the Lions were the better team last night. And they just gave Green Bay chance after chance after chance. And, you know, I think the problem is, listen, I'm a big fan of still calling games the natural way, even though we have all this technology now. But, you know, I mean, things are subjective, you know, on the field. And I understand that. You know, we go back to the call last year or the non-call last year in the Rams-Saints NFC Championship game. When things are that blatant, you can't miss it. I mean, you just can't. And then last night, it happened, and it happened twice.
Right.
Like, if everyone sees what happened in the stadium, you know, online, on TV, everyone sees this, how can the guy standing right there not get that? And to do it twice, it starts to look like the integrity of the game is being messed with a little bit. And I'm not saying that the ref threw the game or anything like that, but I think they need to be held accountable. I mean, if you're holding players accountable for things and the referees can't be able to skate by these type of, you know, transgressions, they need to be held accountable too. And I do personally feel like that referee should be suspended for a game because it was awful. I mean, it was
bad.
I mean,
like,
and there was no explanation behind it.
Exactly. So let me just ask you. So you're recommending, it sounds like, that the referee be suspended for a game. But, I mean, do you think there's any more steps that the NFL can do? Because I think, like you, I think the integrity of the game is being hurt right now. Do you think there's any other steps the NFL can do to make sure, like, that just hopefully doesn't happen again or at least happen as much? Because, again, time and time again, you brought up the example last year and, like, being at the Super Bowl this year, I saw the same fans that were at the airport protesting the fact that the Rams were coming to the Super Bowl because of that game. And then even with the Patriots, I mean, it goes back. You have the Rams with the Patriots in the Super Bowl last year. But, I mean, the Saints fans still aren't happy. Like, they're still mad about that. There's still articles in New Orleans talking about that.
As they should be. I mean,
it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. And I always say one play doesn't make a game.
Right.
But if it happens in the game. Yeah, but if it happens later in a game, and it's just an obvious call that need to be made, you know, you're going to have people that are going to be upset, and that's my issue. I mean, I think the NFL's biggest problem, and I've said this for the last 3-4 years, every training camp, there's a day where the NFL has some referees come out, and they update us in the media room on the new changes. And I'm starting to wonder, is that just the NFL feels like they need to come up with 5 or 6 new changes every year just because. That's not necessarily taking the game forward in a, you know, technological era. I mean, you know, anything like that. I guess what I'm saying is I don't want the league to feel like they have to make changes just because it shows progression in the game, because those changes are actually hindered the game. And it's almost like the referees have too many things to think about on the field. How many times have we seen quarterbacks now get hit? We saw that happen on Sunday with Ryan Anderson. I understand that it was kind of helmet. His helmet hit the quarterback's helmet, but it was his face mask. And I've said this, you're taught how to tackle when you're a kid, if you play football.
Right.
you're taught to tackle with your face mask in their chest. And that's basically what he was doing. So it's almost like it's just too many rules right now. And I think the referees are getting caught up in it, and it's causing them to err more than call the right thing.
And I agree with that. I feel like now all of a sudden we're all asking questions, trying to remember each rule change that happens, or you're asking on Twitter, like, wait, I can't decide. And it shouldn't be that complicated.
Right.
We shouldn't make it that complicated. But I think sometimes, like I used to say, keep it simple and stupid. Sometimes that's what you got to do. But just going on that, so speaking of athletes and kind of things that might be a little bit more complicated, I'm going to my Are You Serious Right Now section, Lake, which I'm very interested to get in with you to it because it's very controversial. We're talking about our man, LBJ, LeBron James, and his recent comments on the situation in China. This has been trending like none other, Lake. I'm sure you've seen everything about it. And for those who might not be up to date with the situation, basically LeBron James, who now I'd say we consider probably one of the more outspoken athletes on social justice issues in the NBA, which of course is a league that kind of prides itself on letting speak up and speak out. He had some recent remarks basically about the Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey's comments in which he tweeted about the situation going on in China. So Morey tweeted, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong, expressing support for those marching in Hong Kong. So currently right now there's questions about freedom of speech and things like that in the country of China. LeBron James post game, basically he criticized Morey, and people were basically saying that him calling Morey misinformed was wrong to LeBron James because they didn't feel that he was as informed on the topic. So if you had a chance to watch his comments post game, like, just tell me first off your first thoughts on LeBron James, and one, if you think he should have commented on, and two, what you thought about his comments in that post game interview that he did.
I mean, I understood where he was trying to go with that, but he came across to me as a hypocrite because he's the same guy that, you know, would tweet out and he's taken stances against things, you know, injustices. I mean, he's been at the forefront more than any, you know, high profile athlete. So in this regard, it was kind of shocking, you know, that he said what he said. And I understand as far as, you know, the point he was making as far as Daryl Morey making a comment while they're still in China. I get that, you know, because you could have kind of put them at risk, you know, for some angry, you know, Chinese, you know, hardliners, you know, could have been really upset. But at the end of the day, you kind of took away Daryl Morey's freedom of speech, too, by saying that. And that's the whole gist. That's the whole gist of this whole thing, is that Daryl Morey has, as an American citizen, has a right to speak his mind. He didn't say anything malicious. He didn't say anything ugly. He just said, stand with Hong Kong and fight for freedom. You know, but that's what this country is supposed to be about as a global leader, about freedom, individual freedoms. So it kind of came across like LeBron was, I hate to say it, but it was like he was kowtowing to some of his consumers to buy his stuff in China.
That's how he got criticized. People basically saying, like, it seemed like he cared more about his financial interests all of a sudden. And they were like, wait, well, just a minute ago, you know, you were all about social justice and you talked about it. So, I mean, of course, China, after it happened, they canceled a lot of the publicity events and the news conferences. They banned the broadcast last week of the exhibition game between the Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Lakers. But I don't know, but to me, like, it was kind of cringeworthy watching that, too, because I think you have to be very careful when you call somebody else misinformed about a topic. If you're not.
Yeah, because what was the topic? Well, the topic is about, you know, this is bigger than shoe sales and NBA's global presence. This is about, you know, this is a country that has a history of being inhumane to its own citizens. I mean, let's just call it like it is, and it's a communist country for a reason, you know. So that's not how we do things over here, and you can't have both. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, the NBA doesn't need to go to China if it's all that. I mean, forget them. I mean, that's how I see it. I understand people talk, oh well, it's a global brand. If you're not wanted somewhere you don't go there. You don't force your way there. And if the Chinese mm-hmm. government's going to take your games off of off their main TV, because they do that if you speak out against governmental practices, their government practices, mm-hmm. then maybe you move on and you find another country that has interest in your product. And you don't lose any sleep over that, because at the end of the day, it's an American sport. It's here yeah. before anywhere yep. else. So oh, your consumers yeah. are here before they are in China. Let's call it like it is. I understand there's more people yeah. in China, and right. everyone in China doesn't have that same approach. You know, there are a lot of young right. people that want a democracy there, but at the end of the day, basketball shouldn't be playing politics. And mm-hmm. I understand that. You know, again, I understand part of what LeBron was saying, but I think by and large, he put his foot in his mouth. There's no way mm-hmm. to get around it. And now he's trying to double down on some of the stuff.
Right. And so just going off of that real quick, I want to hear, do you think there's anything LeBron can do to kind of rectify the situation or make it right? So he looks better on this
whole
thing.
No, I don't think there is, because mm-hmm. one thing we know about LeBron, he speaks his mind. So, mm-hmm. and he speaks his mind, says what he says. I don't think this is any different from the other situations where he spoke his mind candidly and people applauded him for it. This mm-hmm. is a situation he spoke his mind, and it didn't sit well with a lot of people. So he's going to have to eat this one. And mm-hmm. he is going to take a hit from this. I can assure you that. He's already taken a hit from it. And this isn't, you know, a white-black issue. This isn't a Chinese, you know, issue. This is how he's perceived here now. I mean, you've been a social justice warrior, and then you come out and you say something like, you know, Daryl Morey should have thought before he said something. I mean, really? This is bigger than a lot of things that have happened here, you know, because this mm-hmm. is something that has gone on for thousands of years. This is an older country from us. So again, mm-hmm. I just found his comments to be very, ironically, uneducated.
mm-hmm. I know, it's crazy. That's why. That's why when he called him misinformed, I was like, LeBron.
Yeah,
I'll be interested to see where the storyline continues to get spun, but I think he's going to continue to take the heat from it, and I know his PR people are probably working like crazy to try to make the situation right. But I am glad though that more athletes are not afraid to talk about.
I applaud him for using his platform to try mm-hmm. to make a change. And he's done a wonderful job of doing that, especially
yeah.
for kids in the inner cities. I mean, can't help but respect and applaud him. But he gaffed on this one, and you know,
right.
to say that, you know, a guy's misinformed just so happens to be that guy's an MIT grad on top of that. I don't think he's misinformed.
Come on, LeBron. Do your research.
Exactly.
All right. We're wishing the best for LeBron. Media, be a little bit nicer to him. He didn't fully know. All right. Last but not least, Lake, I like to wrap up my show with my Woman Crush Everyday segment where I honor female athletes getting the job done. I have to shout out one that just shined this entire weekend and really the beginning of this week. Simone Biles, 22 years old. She now has a record 25 world championship medals. It's ridiculous. 4 skills now bear her name, including one on the floor that no other gymnast that's a woman has attempted in competition. She helped to lead Team USA to its 5th straight team gold. Is there anything that she can't do, Lake?
No. I mean, she's the GOAT. I mean, and I think she's recognized as that, as the best, you know, female gymnast of all time. And, you know, what she's doing is just phenomenal. And, you know, and she does it with power. She does it with grace. And I think that she has, you know, in a lot of ways in the era right now of, you know, like the Williams sisters in tennis and, mm-hmm. you know, the explosion of women's tennis again, by and large, you know, just around the world, you have so many young players, you know, they're 15, 16 years old that are going to be around for a while. I kind of think sometimes Simone Biles has gotten lost in all of that as far as mm-hmm. just her true dominance, you know, not just as a female athlete, but just as an athlete in general. And the the irony is that she's been doing this on the biggest stage of them all, you know?
Right.
So
the world game.
Exactly. So I think, you know, like you said, she's just 22. She's still young. And still has a lot left in her. So I hope that she really starts to get to do that. You know, when I see these polls about, you know, who's the greatest, you know, female athlete. And then I hate when they do that, by the way, because that's kind of diminishing them in a sense, by asking it and putting a gender in there. I think as far as her dominance, she's a top five athlete, period. And I think Serena's in that category as well. So you can find me three other men.
Yeah, it's true. Like, those are two goats. And I think you're right. I don't think she gets the credit. I think, unfortunately, this country only cares about gymnastics when it comes to the Olympics. And other than that, it seems like we forget it, which is sad.
Exactly.
She's a true athlete. And I'm like you. I hope she gets more credit. What she's doing is phenomenal. Like you said, she's still not done. She's still young. She still has so much to do. And she's going to set records, I think, for years to come. And I'm just so proud knowing her story and, you know, being raised by her grandparents. And I mean, she truly has overcome all obstacles. And even I like the quote that she recently came out with. She said, you know, as females, she said, you know, I am great. I'm great at what I do. And she said, as females, we're not often taught to say that. It's something kind of men are taught to say. We're kind of taught to be more humble. But I like that she's even changing that narrative, saying it's okay to say, you know what, I'm a rock star at what I do. And like, I know you have a daughter, and I think that's just great that she's inspiring girls to just be confident in who they are and not be afraid to say things like that. Because far too often, I feel like females are taught to be more humble. But it's okay to be great, say you're great at something if you are. And guess what? She is. And at this point, nobody else can tell her differently because they haven't been able to be there.
Well, my daughter's taking that cue because she'll tell you great too. So
that means you did your job right.
And I mean, I'm okay with that. You know, I'd rather her say she's great than to have doubts about herself. So,
yeah.
You know, but I also think that Simone Biles is, you know, bigger than just, you know, what she's accomplishing on the floor from the standpoint that gymnastics needs her right now because of everything that they've gone through over the past couple of years, you know, with the, you know, the sexual assault things and all these different things that have gone on. It's kind of given the sport. And, you know, and it shouldn't have, but it did. It kind of tainted the sport a little bit, you know, and I think, you know, just the fact of what she's doing, it's still showing, you know, little girls, and mine is included, you know, she's a gymnast. It's showing them that they can do it. And then on top of that, she's Black, you know, she's a woman of color, you know, which by and large, you know, we've had some success in it. You know, Dominique Dawes, who's from this area. I grew up with her out in Silver Spring. You know, she's...
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you're a MoCo native, too. Shout out
to
MoCo.
Of course I am. Yep, so... and I remember when she was doing her thing, and, you know, there was on
that
the men's side, you know, Zaire Lynch, and, you know, all these folks that, you know, people didn't get a chance to see us, you know, all the time. You know, so now... The most dominant gymnast of all time is African American, and doing it with so much class and dignity, you can't help but love her. You can't help it.
I mean, she's just so likable. Like, everything about her, and like you said, just doing it with so much class. Nothing crazy out there. Like, she's just doing the job.
And she knows her. She knows. Yeah, she knows her status though, and that's like you said. She says she's great, but I mean, she knows what she means to the sport, and she knows the torch that she's carrying. She knows what she's doing.
The weight that and
I embrace that. I mean, and it's similar to LeBron, but I think LeBron, this time sometimes you can talk too much. And
look,
if he wanted Daryl Morey,
but
if he wanted Daryl Morey to be quiet, he probably needed to look at himself in the mirror and say, you know what, I probably should have done the same thing.
Oh my gosh. I wish I could be a fly on the wall to be there when Daryl Morey heard LeBron's comment. And just what he was thinking in his mind. We'll never fully know, but I tell you, I wish I could be a fly on the wall. But again, Simone, keep it up. I think, like you said, she's just phenomenal, fantastic, a great role model for all girls. I also think can't remember, though, the path that Gabby Douglas helped to set, and I hate that sometimes people compare them and made it like they couldn't both be rock stars. But Gabby was also a superstar in her own right. And fun fact, Lake, I used to go to Hill's Gym where Dominique Dawes went until they kicked me out for being too tall. Yeah, my growth spurt hit, and they told my parents nicely that I would, you know, thank you so much, but this is not going to be for Kelsey.
Well, that's actually something that's going to be popping up with my daughter soon, because she's she looks like she may have to transform to volleyball or basketball or something.
And that's what I did, volleyball and basketball.
yep, because she's all legs now, and her favorite things are the balance beam and all that stuff. And I'm now I worry.
At least you have the backup plan ready. My parents were prepared. They're like, Kelsey, you know what? It's fine.
She does equestrian riding too. So, you know, so that's the
nice.
Other thing.
Very cool.
Yeah, but you know, it's kind of steep, but, you know, but I've always said, I think that, you know, she's athletic. She was really good at soccer at one point. I'm sitting here touting my daughter, but she's an athlete. And I think whatever she decides to do, she'll be fine with it.
I love it. Setting the example. Like, thank you so much. This was such a fun show. We'll definitely have to have you back on.
Oh, anytime. You know it. Just ask and I'll be on.
Perfect. Thanks so much to my fellow MoCo natives. Have a great one, Lake.
All right. Take care. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support truly do matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and please don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.